to get up and get your day started. It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominant Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Yep.
Ready for a new week. We're ready for the NFL draft, which begins Thursday. The NBA playoffs are underway. It's a good time to be a big sports fan. That's what we are here on Sports 56 Mornings. We welcome you in the Monday, April 20th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Hamm with you. We're live and local broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. They got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on right now through May 10th. So take advantage of that. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Perhaps you went down and saw the Redbirds or enjoyed one of those great restaurants downtown. And afterwards, maybe you stopped by Old Dominic Distillery to have a cocktail, a craft cocktail, craft spirit inside the distillery bar. We thank Old Dominic Distillery. They are the first hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, located at 305 South Front Street. In downtown Memphis, you can take a guided tour and tasting test over at Old Dominic. 150 years in the making, starting with the Canale family's arrival in Memphis. And then the revival began in 2017 when the doors opened to the public. They got a big event coming up at the Memphis Zoo, the Roar and Pour event on April 24th. Experience the Tennessee Whiskey Trail at Roar and Pour at Memphis Zoo. Features Old Dominic Distillery for an evening of tastings, music, and after-hours access to Memphis Zoo. Whiskey lovers celebrate Tennessee's rich distilling tradition at Old Dominic and at the beautiful Memphis Zoo. We got a lot to talk about. Portal news aplenty, some good, some bad, for the Memphis Tigers. Memphis Tigers spring football wrapped up. Unfortunately, they weren't able to have the spring fan fest because of the weather on Saturday, but instead went indoors to wrap up practice number 15. We'll talk about that. The NBA playoffs, as I mentioned, underway, and Friday night in the final play-in games, the Grizzlies looking for some help to get a second lottery pick. That, unfortunately, did not happen. We got some NFL trade rumors and looking more and more like A.J. Brown could be dealt from the Eagles to the New England Patriots, according to Adam Schefter's report at ESPN. And college baseball over the weekend. Big series win for Ole Miss at Tennessee. And how about the Memphis Tigers? They finally get it going in conference play. They sweep a series on the road. Matt Reiser will join us here in studio at 9:05. We'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines as well as we welcome you in. And happy Patriots Day. Patriots Day up in Boston. The Boston Marathon will be taking place, probably already underway, in Boston, Massachusetts. Eli Savoy back after a couple of days of R&R. How are you?
I am good. Very good. Fantastic weekend.
Yeah?
A lot of fun. Shout out to the folks over in Pickwick. The Pickwick Landing State Park Golf Course over there had a great time. Course is in fantastic condition. They just opened back up after all the damage from the ice storm. They had a ton of trees they had to clean out of there, but it is in great shape. And had our little slam by the dam golf event, and a good time was had by all.
You got a title for your golf event?
Well, yeah, you got to have a title.
Slam by the dam?
You got to have a title. What do you
I'm playing there on Friday. It's called just going up and playing golf. Well, but you had about a thousand people.
We weren't just playing golf. It was a contest.
So did you win?
We did. My team won. I went.
Congratulations.
I went 5-0 myself.
Damn.
So
how much money did you win? Lots?
I've done not as much as some others.
You've done good?
But I did all right.
Did you have a Calcutta and all that stuff?
We did. We had a lot of money on the line, and some won a heck of a lot more than I did, but I did all right. So kudos to all the folks out there. This was my first year playing in it. It's the 10th year that they've been doing it. It's my first year playing with it. And I had
wow, beginner's luck, huh?
Great time as being a part of it.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Like I said, I'm going to go out and play Friday. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. Right now the forecast for the weekend is not great. I know we had the weather on Saturday. It had a little bit come through where you were, but it wasn't as bad as people had thought. Right now, 51 degrees. the crispness in the air, which I absolutely love. And I love it even more when you know it's going to warm up. It's going to get to 79 today. That's perfect. That's all I need. 79 degrees for a high. I'm fine with that. Tomorrow looks to be real nice. Wednesday, beautiful. Thursday, we'll get up into the 80s. And then we got that chance of thunderstorms Friday, some rain possibly Saturday. Thunderstorm chances Sunday and Monday. So it may do some damage to my golf outing. Hopefully that won't be the case. Jay Hamm, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I didn't get really see any Saturday basketball action until the last game because I was out at Wingfest out at River Garden Park. Great time out there. A lot of people out there came out. Weather cooperated with us. It didn't rain, but we got a bean temperature drop. Went from like 70 to 55. Coming off that river, it felt pretty rough.
Yeah, Saturday night, like it was like we played golf and then went in, you know, and then came back out. I was like, oh, wait, this is a different day. this is a whole different bit weather than I just was in a little bit ago.
I don't mind if the temperature drops as long as it doesn't rain, and that's what I'm dealing with possibly this weekend. But you escaped it, huh?
I escaped it, and I was prepared. I had my hoodie, and I was properly dressed for it. There were so many people out there with shorts and short sleeves on. Not me.
They weren't looking at the forecast.
Exactly.
We told you the temperature was going to drop.
I followed meteorologist Greg Gaston all week. So there
yes,
we go.
Yes. I'm accredited. I'm a meteorologist. I saw a lot of people on social media go, oh my gosh, they canceled the fan fest for the Tigers and it didn't even rain that much. And it rained in some parts. But here's the deal. When you have a bad forecast and the possibility is that people are going to look at the forecast and not come out there and you're going to have some kind of fan fest event with like 20 people there. And then the players, if it is bad weather, are forced now to play outdoors. It just did not make sense. The school made the right move. They canceled it ahead of time. They didn't cancel. They postponed it. There's going to be some event that'll be coming up. I'm assuming it'll be in August during practice, not once the season kicks off in week zero against UNLV. I doubt you have an event after that. I would imagine it's sometime early in August when they start fall practice, that they will reschedule that event. There's going to be something for the fans. It was unfortunate, but I think they made the right move because you got to go with the forecast. And the forecast sometimes is wrong, but you can't wait till the last second to decide to keep the event on, and then all of a sudden it ends up being horrible weather.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you're dealing with weather and forecasts, all that. I mean, obviously, it's not a perfect science, and you just try and make the best decisions that you can. Sometimes that it will end up not being the best, but you got to do what you can with the information you have.
A little bit later on in the show, we'll talk NFL draft and NFL trades. We had a big one over the weekend. We got another one that's possibly brewing. Who knows? It could be a very active week as we have the NFL draft from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, starting with round one on Thursday, rounds two and three Friday, rounds four through seven on Saturday. The NBA draft won't take place until June. The NBA draft lottery will take place on May 10th. And unfortunately, the Memphis Grizzlies did not get any help for that second lottery pick. The hope was that Orlando would lose, which would have been automatic, or the Suns were going to lose. And then I know there needed a few other things to happen, but a good chance that they were going to get a second lottery pick if that happened, if one of those teams lost. And they had both lost the first games that they played in the play-in, so it looked pretty good. The Magic were reeling. The Suns had just lost, so it looked good. And then all of a sudden, Eli, Friday night, the Magic, they crushed the Hornets, 121-90, just an awful start in that game for Charlotte. They never recovered, lost by 31, and the Suns beat the Warriors 111-96, so they won by 15. Those games weren't even close.
No, they were not, and it was not a great night, to say the least, for the Grizzlies in hoping to get that second lottery pick and just increase the odds or their chances of maybe getting up into that top four. But and now they still have to wait to find out exactly what that second first-round pick is. It will be I think the drawings are held today to break the ties, if I'm not mistaken. So they Phoenix, Orlando, and Philadelphia
I believe, all had the exact same record. So they've got to do some tie-breaking, and that will determine which pick the Grizzlies officially get as their second first-round pick, either Orlando's or Phoenix's.
So I had read where it looks like it would be 16, 17, 18 in that neighborhood. Is that correct?
That's the three spots they have to draw for those three teams that are all tied. Yes, they have to. It's 16, 17, 18. And with the Grizzlies getting the better of the two picks, we know it won't be 18. So they will either get 16th or 17th.
Okay. So the Grizzlies, we know, will have the sixth best odds in the lottery, which will take place May 10th. Doesn't mean they'll pick sixth. Let's hope they win it, which it hasn't happened. A team that has finished with the sixth worst record, sixth best odds, has never moved up. So maybe the Grizzlies will break that streak. And then, as Eli just talked about, the 16th or 17th pick, which in this draft could be really, really good, and then they'll get the 32nd overall pick in the second round. Is that Signs Hill delivered?
They've got Indiana's second round pick, which will be number 32.
Okay, that's still a lot. That's still in this draft, to me, a lot of options there. Whether you're keeping the three picks, whether you're packaging, whether you're doing anything else, we know that Kleiman has moved up several times when he's pinpointed a player, the most recent Cedric Cowart last year. So all kinds of options. But again, the draft lottery will determine a lot of things, as a lot of people believe that the draft, which again looks to be so loaded, has four guys that maybe have differentiated themselves from the others, and then there's that next group, which includes a lot of point guards. Everybody has their own thoughts on how deep that draft goes. And just my opinion on the outside looking in, to me, looks like you're going to be able to get really good talent all the way into the 20s, in my opinion. And then you see what happens in the second round, because they always get lucky in the second round. But I think it's as deep as I've seen a draft in a while. And we'll see on May 10th. Well, we'll find out, like you said, what, today? Is it today?
I believe that. I think the drawings, all these tiebreaker drawings, are held today, if I'm not mistaken. It's this week, but I think it is actually today that they're supposed to do the tiebreaker drawings.
Okay, so we'll find out today, hopefully, on that. If not, very, very soon. And then we'll find out May 10th where they'll be picking in the lottery. And three picks overall, including that one in the second round. So, again, it is what it is. We didn't get the help. The Grizzlies didn't get the help that they wanted on Friday night. But good for the Magic. They recovered and rolled. And the Suns, after losing, beat up on the Warriors. The Warriors, after the game, Steve Kerr said he's not sure about his future. So we'll see what happens there. Could be a changing of the guard in San Francisco with the Warriors with Steve Kerr.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors at various times with him and whether they would he will continue to do it, obviously. I think at this point, for the most part, we can say that, and I think it's been for a couple of years, but at this point I think we could say that the Warriors, the run is over with that group. And what that means on a player front and a coaching front, we shall see. But it's for them as an organization, it's time to start turning the page.
So the good news about the NBA playoffs is that everything's revved up. The last month of the NBA season is pathetic. There might be a couple of teams that are trying to position themselves seed-wise, maybe a team or two that's trying to go from play-in to playoff. But we knew the 20 teams that were going to the postseason a while ago. And then, of course, there's the whole tanking thing and guys that are injured. It's just bad. But then once the playoffs start, it's different. All the guys that seem to be hurt play. They play hard. They play physical. And the action is revved up, like I said, tenfold. That's the good news. The bad news is that at least in game one of the first round of these best of seven series, there were mostly blowouts. There were not games that went down to the wire. There was one stunner, but 7 out of the 8 games won by the home team and won pretty convincingly. Yeah, there were some games that went into the fourth quarter close, but in the end, there was nothing that came down to a final shot or a final possession. But the stunner happened on Sunday as the Magic, again, riding that dub from Friday night over the Hornets, go into Detroit as an 8 seed and knock off the Pistons. Again, this is game one. This is not a one-game deal. It's a best of 7. But Detroit loses at home 112-101. Paolo Banchero, who has been struggling, he had a big game. Obviously, Des Bain, the former Grizzly, doing his thing. All 5 starters for the Magic in double figures. Wagner, Franz Wagner, had the big game, had all the scratches on him. Their bigs were able to handle the Jalen Duren Detroit, because Detroit doesn't have this massive defensive front. In other words, the 3, 4, and 5 guys aren't the biggest guys in the world. Jalen Duren, the former Tiger, is chiseled out of marble, but he's not 7 foot. And I think that hurt them a little bit. So Detroit, at home, loses by 11 in game one.
Yeah, that's... we've talked about Detroit. They don't have the playoff experience. What are they really capable of? Obviously, it's been a great year, but in the postseason, it is a whole different beast, and it's a team that hasn't been there and done that, while Orlando does have guys who have been in the playoffs. Orlando didn't really do anything great. Like, they were 10 of 34 from 3. Desmond Bane was 1 for 8 from 3. Like, they didn't have some great performance and still go in there and win by double digits. It's got to be a little bit of a slap in the face for the Pistons and the Pistons fans who are thinking about what this year could be after the great regular season. That's a little bit of a wake-up call.
What I like about what the Magic did, first of all, Jalen Suggs, he came out of nowhere. I'm going to get Jayham's opinion in a second here, but Jalen Suggs was really good. 36 minutes, 16 points. But what I like is that all the starters, not only double-figure scoring, Banchero, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Wagner, Franz, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, couple of steals. Wendell Carter Jr., 7 rebounds, 5 assists, couple of steals, a block. Desmond Bane, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Suggs, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. They all contributed beyond just the points. And I think their starting five easily outplayed Detroit's starting five. And again, you look at the front line for Detroit, and it's not big. Their starting five is Tobias Harris, Duncan Robinson, Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, and Ausar Thompson. Obviously good enough to get him the 1 seed in the East, but I think lacking that size, and I know they could bring in Isaiah Stewart, Jayham, but I think that hurts Detroit. I don't know. They'll probably come back and win the series, but I think it's a wake-up call for the Pistons.
Definitely a wake-up call. Like you mentioned, that first five for Orlando, they played fantastic as a unit. You know, not saying from the statistical standpoint, but just how they were able to just muddy the game up early, set the tone. Like you said, with Jalen Suggs coming out with the dimes, the steals, making big jumpers. It was one play in particular where – early in the first half, it was a loose ball. They think they got knocked away from Jalen Duren, and this dude just dived across the floor.
Right.
Got the basketball, and they created a new possession. They took everything to Detroit that Detroit generally brings to everybody else. For Detroit, it's going to have to be somebody other than Cade. You can't have Cade going for 35-5 when nobody else has anything going. And Jalen Duren cannot be equal or lesser value to Wendell Carter in this series. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Jalen Duren only had 8 points and 7 rebounds. And to your point about Cade Cunningham, he ends up going for 39. But it's one of those deals where I'm sure Orlando's looking at it. All right, Cade gets his points.
We'll get it. Yeah.
We stop everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's what they did, Eli.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Duren's got to be better. Like he's just... like they're if Duren's getting them 8 points, that's the and 7 rebounds, that's not going to work. They need him to be his double-double self, because Thompson's not some great offensive player. You're not looking at him for that, so it's got to be somebody. I mean, Tobias Harris and Jalen Duren have to provide a lot of offense for that team, and Durin in this game was not able to do that. But, yeah, again, I still think they'll come back and win the series. But, again, it is a wake-up call for them. And, again, there are us and others who doubt what this Pistons team is able to do in year one, basically. But they, this is their chance to build up the scar tissue and everything else. But they don't, so you don't want to go out in round one, and because that's not how you build up the scar tissue. You need to keep advancing.
That was so funny. You said, I still think they'll come back and win it, which I would agree with you. My Apple Watch goes off and says, that's not nice.
Well, even when you think about that, I didn't know this until this morning. The Pistons have lost 11 straight home playoff games.
Right, I know.
Like, wow.
When? How long are you going to go back?
2008, when the Celtics got them in that series, when that first Celtics team that Doc had.
That's a long time
KG
ago.
With KG and those guys.
How about this? Do you think Orlando's management has already made up their mind about Jamal Mosley? How about if he wins this series?
I think they have, and I think they, like you said, if he wins this series, there's going to be some head scratching and others decision making to see what they're going to do going forward.
Yeah, I mean,
they're playing well right now, coming off that Friday night win, and then they come back yesterday to get the 1-0 lead. Keep riding.
If you have made up your mind, Eli, minds can be changed. If he goes in there as an 8 seed with his team and beats the 1, how do you, with a straight face, fire the guy? You're going to look like idiots.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what they will do if they win this series.
Right, and we don't know if they've already made their decision. We're just...
It brings me back to when handful of years ago when Konzo Martin was at Tennessee, and it was like everything hit the wall in midseason, and then his team got in the tournament and they got in the Sweet 16.
Right.
Went from first four to Sweet 16.
Oh, we've seen that before.
Yeah.
Coaches that were on the hot seat and then all of a sudden they made a great run. And we've seen organizations fire that coach even with the great run. You're like, what are you doing here? Maybe they figured it out. I don't know. We got a lot more to talk about as far as the NBA is concerned. We got transfer portal news, NBA, NFL rather, NFL draft news. We got baseball to get to. Matt Reiser will join us to talk some Tigers college baseball at 9:05. The Tigers sweeping Rice on the road. We'll take calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. It's all coming up as we continue here on Sports 56 Mornings. Hour one brought to you by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery, one of our other terrific sponsors, Lawn Solutions. It is a weed control fertilization company, not a lawn mowing service. You want your grass treated, you call Lawn Solutions. They've been doing this for years and years. Locally owned, family operated. 901-867-5626. Online at lawnsolutionsinc.net. They control the germination of weeds all year long. Right now, as it gets warmer, they're applying post-emergence during the winter months, even when your grass is dormant. They're applying pre-emergence. They're working on the grass to make sure that when spring is sprung, there's no weeds. It is a lot easier to prevent the weeds from popping up than it is to kill them, but they can do that as well. They can take care of any disease your lawn has, any insect infestation, plus dandelions, crabgrass, stuff that just makes your grass look like an eyesore. They got moles that destroy grass, grub worms that can destroy grass. They could take care of that for you as well. Lawn Solutions, give them a call. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, 901-867-5626, or online at lawnsolutionsinc.net. Just underway on a Monday, this is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 7:28 the time, hour number one here on Sports 56 Mornings. We opened up with some NBA talk. We'll get back to the NBA a little bit later on. But recruiting-wise, transfer portal news. Eli was off Thursday and Friday, and it was a fairly busy week for the Memphis Tigers. They were able to bring in three players to add to their haul, but still a ways to go to fill that roster. And unfortunately, any hope of landing one of the bigger names that have been brought up over the last week to 10 days or so was thwarted as the news came down over the weekend that DJ Wagner from the University of Arkansas has committed to my alma mater, Maryland, and Rowan Brumbaugh, the Tulane star who torched the Tigers last season. At least he's headed out of the league, but he's headed to SMU. You couple that with PJ Haggerty, who's also decided to say thanks, but no thanks to Memphis, and you strike out on all those guys. Now, the question is, how much of a chance did they really have? How much of it was financial? Was it a combination of financial and that these players, certainly Brumbaugh, who hasn't had the chance, although he did start at Georgetown his career, but going and playing with a power conference school, SMU playing in the ACC, Maryland playing in the Big Ten, Haggerty signed with, who was it, Texas A&M? Mm-hmm. Playing in the SEC. It might be a combination. Money certainly a factor, but you just wonder, and we'll probably never find out, if Memphis did seriously go after these guys, and it seemed like they did. I know for sure with Brumbaugh. I know for sure with Haggerty at first. I think they did so with Wagner as well. What are we talking about the difference from a financial standpoint? Because Memphis unable to land any of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's there's no doubt that these power conference schools just have more money to spend, bigger budget. The Colby Garland, is his visit completely off now?
Yes.
I don't, got delayed, and then he ended up just canceling it altogether?
It's off, but Jason Munns said once, this is according to his father, Jason Munns from the Commercial Appeal spoke to his father, and said once he goes through this next series of visits, Georgia Tech, there's several others that he's added, he said if, like, Memphis wants to come around and maybe throw a different offer at him, then maybe he comes and visits. This seems to be, again, dad orchestrated, looking for the most money. Power conferences can spend the most money. It seems like it's pretty much that simple.
I don't know what you do other than try and figure out how you could find some more money to spend, but it's just, it is what it is at this point. You have financial limits that others do not. They've got more money. So when you're talking about some of these top kids, that's why I've always thought with a guy like Haggerty, especially when you've been basically an All-American for 2 years, like, he gonna get paid. Those types of guys are gonna get paid a whole bunch of money, and most of the time are going to be out of the out of range for Memphis because of that money.
So here's the latest as far as the rumor mill is concerned, and I give a lot of credit to Munsey. He has a lot of this information. He first thought that Bradshaw was a long shot to retain. Now he says that maybe not so much. The fact that we are one day away from the deadline to go in the portal, and we haven't heard anything from Bradshaw, and you would think in this day and age, if you're going into the portal, that information gets out there. It's hard to keep it a secret. I don't know why you'd want to keep it a secret, right? If you're a player, you're going to the portal, you want everybody to know. You want to scream from the top of the roof, from the rooftops, because you want to make sure that there's every opportunity out there to land a high-paying spot on a roster. Well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe this guy is going to be back in Memphis. I'm not saying that's the case, and I haven't heard anything, but we're a day away from the deadline. So Aaron Bradshaw, maybe he does come back to Memphis, and Munns talked about that possibility in his last story. Here are some of the names that have come up over the last 4 or 5 days. Some of this from Jason, some from other people. Again, this is not coming from me. This is coming from things I read. Cornelius Williams, Jason Munn says, visiting Memphis this week, 6'9", had 23 double-doubles, averaged 9 rebounds a game over the past 2 seasons playing at North Alabama. Hit 58% of his field goals, all 2-pointers. So here's a banger. 6'9", not 6'11", but 6'9", good size, had 6 15 rebound games the past two seasons, playing for North Alabama. That seems now more the trend that Memphis will be looking at players from within the conference and from smaller schools like North Alabama. Now, there are still several guys out there every year that Memphis is going to be able to get or at least be in the mix that come from bigger schools that I guess it comes down to those players are they realize who they are, that probably not going to get the money they want, probably not going to get the playing time they want, and so they may drop down from a power conference to a mid-major. Elijah Strong is that guy. South Carolina power forward. He's 6'8", averaged 10 points per game, 18 starts. According to this story out there, he's got a Zoom visit setting up with Memphis. So visit via Zoom first. Already visited Charlotte. Remember Charlotte now with Wes Miller as the head coach, the former Cincinnati head coach. Also interest from Kansas State, Seton Hall, Ole Miss, Georgia, George Mason, Duquesne. Again, when you get into these situations where schools like Georgia, Ole Miss, Kansas State, those that have money, and if they're really interested in you, very hard to land those type of players. Other names that we heard, Josh Holloway. We talked about this on Friday. I did with John Varlas. He's at Texas A&M. He's the guy who got into the situation with John Morant. And he's somebody who Memphis is looking at. Eli, you'll be happy to know there is a player named Yak Yak from Oregon State that Memphis is interested in. They could be going from a rope to Yak Yak, don't come back or don't talk back. So he's out there. There is a player by the name of, let's see, Tylik Weeks. Our very own Brian Dacus wrote about him. He's a 6'7 forward out of Southern Miss. You mentioned Colby Garland. I think that ship has sailed. Jeremiah Johnson is another name. And there's a guy, and I'm not sure if it's pronounced Zeely, Marcus Zeely, from Iowa State, whose name has popped up and surfaced. But again, Memphis's name's in there with like 20 other names. So that's where we stand. They were able to land a few guys last week. They have the three freshmen now coming in, two from Briarcrest. And possibly, when it's all said and done, Bradshaw. That's where they stand right now. So they still have basically half their roster to fill.
Yeah, we got a text on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 360-8255. 360-8255 is the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, where you can text or call. And somebody asking the question, is Bradshaw worth it? Again, at this point, when you don't, when you're very limited on your roster, I would say that Aaron Bradshaw is worth it because, you know, he's not a great player. He's not a terrible player. He is certainly somebody who could play for Memphis and be a part of the rotation. I don't know what they would be having to pay him. What they paid him last year, I don't know that. But the fact that if, as I said, if at this point you haven't put your name in the portal, it would make no, like, I don't know why you would ever delay in doing that because you want to be there as teams are making these decisions. You don't want all these teams signing guys, everything else, and then you go, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm in the portal too.
Right.
It just makes no sense. So if he hasn't done it yet, I can't imagine why, unless literally here, you know, they've been talking and everything else, and it just gets to the point where either they say, no, you need to go somewhere else or whatever. But if you haven't done it in the 2 weeks to this point, I don't know why you would suddenly put your name in the portal.
Well, this is interesting because Bradshaw was one of the guys, even though Penny didn't say the name directly, but he talked about a couple of guys who lost a little bit. They were fined, basically, for some things that they did, either late for a practice or whatever the case was. And the assumption was Bradshaw was one of those guys.
He talked directly about Airbnb.
Did he say Bradshaw's name?
The TV guys, the one game, whatever it was, talked about the fact that he had fined Aaron Bradshaw.
Okay. I didn't know he said his name directly. Bradshaw. Okay, so that even makes this point clearer. he had to deal with that and still offered him a spot to come back and play. Now, he offered everybody. Of all the guys that had eligibility, he offered every single player. There was eight of them, right? Two have taken him up on the offer. Thetford, William Wharton. The rest are gone, except for Bradshaw. Well, if that didn't bother Penny enough, that he basically was saying, yeah, I don't want this guy on my team. I can't handle this guy. This guy's a problem. It was an incident or two. I guess it was no big deal to Penny. So the fact that he offered, that's number one. That tells me, okay, we're okay with, as far as the personal stuff. I imagine that Penny said, listen, we would love to have you back at this price. I don't know what they had. I don't know what we got paid last year, but I'm going to guess that they offered him less. So the question was, do you want him back? And my answer would be similar to yours. This is a guy who I thought improved as the season went along. Is he the end-all, be-all? No, not by any stretch. Is he the physical guy you want? No, but he was able to bang a little bit more toward the end of the year. The problem is he's soft as far as the injuries are concerned. He got banged up and he got hurt. He doesn't have the greatest hands in the world. I guess there's still potential, but if he hasn't lived up to it yet, you wonder if he'll ever live up to it. But what are your options out there right now? As long as you get, and I think next to Bradshaw this past year, they didn't have that guy, that banger, that guy I talk about. So if one of these guys they're looking at now, these 6'9 guys, double-double machines, playing the paint, physical guy next to Bradshaw, you can live with that. You can live with it. Bradshaw's tall. You should be able to get him alley-oops. They did a bad job on that, and he did a bad job because he doesn't have the greatest hands. And I thought he did better with Roy Rogers working with him, the big guy coach, and they got rid of him. So I don't know, again, of these new coaches, who works with the bigs. But I would say yes. If that's your option, I don't think it's the worst option to bring him back. But you can't do it at the expense of not having the finances for the rest of the guys you need to bring in. You can't do that where it will cost you other possible players because they are in the mix for some other players. They have 6-7 spots they got to fill. So you can't do that just because you want to dump a lot of money at Bradshaw. It has to be within that budget. And that's where having the general manager, Gabriel Harris, who's there, that's his job. His job is to look at the finances. This is what we have to spend. This is what we can play with. Let's go here. Let's offer this guy. That's what it's all about. And I know it's a quick turnaround from being the general manager of the Sacramento Kings G League team in Stockton, California, but that's what he dealt with, putting together rosters. So that's what he's dealing with right now for Memphis. That's why there's all this stuff going on. What can you do budgetarily to make sure you have enough for everybody and still be able to appease certain players and fulfill all your needs, fill all the holes you have?
Good. If they had been landing a bunch of these guys in the portal, then I would maybe say that Aaron Bradshaw's not worth it. But they haven't. Like they got to figure out a roster somehow. And so at this point, I would say, again, having no idea what the number is for him, I would say Aaron Bradshaw is probably worth it because they need bodies. Yes, you would love to have better guys at every position, but with what they have budgetarily, that's probably not going to be the case. Texter says, now more than ever, teams that don't have top 20 budgets need to have elite coaches and scouts who know how to build a roster and develop talent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's the name of the game. And, that's with – the freshmen coming in, developing those guys and stuff. And the thing is, because the part that sucks is even for some of these schools, like, you could have that. You could be great at developing talent. The problem is you develop it and then it goes somewhere else to get more money after you've developed that talent. And that could happen. But But yes, you got to their talent development, knowing how to put that roster together, all of that, and yeah, you're trying to get as much bang for your buck as you possibly can, and that takes some really good coaching.
Or you can be on the other side and have all kinds of money and be able to put together the roster you want, which happens with a lot of these power conference schools. Last week we were talking about Indiana. At one point last week, Indiana was number one in the portal. This year for football, of course, that ended, and they were number one. In basketball, they were number one. But they've been surpassed. I guess everybody – there's a couple of reports out there. But the one I saw over the weekend, Tennessee – and the roster that Rick Barnes is putting together, I saw where they were number one in the transfer portal and number one with the incoming freshmen. And the big name they got over the weekend was Terrence Hill Jr., who was with Virginia Commonwealth, and he made a lot of money in that NCAA tournament. So he's the latest. I think there's nine new players so far and counting for Tennessee, and they're in the mix for another player or two. Ole Miss, Chris Beard, it's very important what he's doing this year with this team, putting together this team. They have. You could just go right down the list of schools that have that money because they're playing in power conferences to be able to use on players. We just mentioned Rowan Brumbaugh. I think he's a hell of a player. He's going to SMU.
Yeah, I mean, for Tennessee, obviously we know that they not only have the money but are very willing to spend it. And Rick Barnes has done... He and his staff have done a great job in the portal since the portal really became
yes.
a thing.
Like
they,
you know, he's an old coach.
Dalton Connects and all of those. I mean, they right. found him at smaller schools that have come in and been outstanding players mm-hmm. for them in the SEC. I mean, he is very, very good. You have to have the money to begin with, but even some of that, they have found talent. You know, they aren't just looking at it. It's not necessarily always the obvious guys. Like, they've found some guys at those smaller schools that you don't know for sure. Like, okay, if that guy comes into the SEC, what is he in the SEC? Well, they've done a great job of evaluating that, and they've hit a number of guys that they've done that with.
Right. You have to have the money, first of all. You have to be able to evaluate the talent, which he has done. Also, he's an older coach who's embraced the system. I'm not saying it's his favorite, the way college basketball is today as opposed to what it was before the portal NIL rev share. But he's one of those older coaches who's embraced it, Calipari. There's others that have not, and they've gotten out of the game. Or right now they're struggling, even though they're still coaching. Town Village Automotive Park, senior living in today's world, located at 950 Cherry Road, just off Park Avenue, offering more options to fit your needs more than ever before. They're dedicated to the long-term satisfaction and the quality of life for their residents. All they ask is that you're 55 years of age or older. So if you're looking at your golden years or the golden years of a loved one, think Town Village Audubon Park. You can call them, set up a tour. Have any questions, they'll answer them for you. 901-537-0002 or go online to townvillageaudubonpark.com. Independent living, short-term respite stay available, monthly options may be the way to go. Everything you need to continue to enjoy life to its fullest. Basic services include monthly rental with no buy-in. Apartments include full kitchen, washer, and dryer. All-inclusive resort-style dining with multiple venues. Outpatient therapy and bi-weekly housekeeping. They have a community center which features a home theater, game rooms, indoor pool, whirlpool, a fitness center, bistro, fruit stand, 24-hour pantry, beauty salon, library, computer center, and on and on and on with the amenities. Five landscape courtyards, resident gardening areas, dog park, and gated parking for your safety. Town Village, Audubon Park. Call them today at 901-537-0002 or online at townvillageaudubonpark.com. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 7:51 the time. Hour one here on Sports 56 Mornings. Keep the text coming in. If you want to call us, you can also hit us up on that same Sissy's Log Cabin listener line number at 901-360-8255. 855.
Dennis texted in, said, the sad thing about the NIL is if Memphis has supposedly the most money in the league and is missing on players because of that lack of said money, the other teams have to be shopping in the bargain bin at the Goodwill. You can only hope your coach has enough of a name or reputation to help offset that. Like the guy we got from Washington State saying he trusted Penny to develop his game. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, that's – I can't even imagine what some of these schools in the conference are spending on the basketball side of things. Again, I mean, they're most – you know, nobody's even close to the $20 million for, you know, the full amount of revenue sharing. Obviously, the biggest percentage of that money goes towards football. So, yeah, I'd imagine there are some very small budgets when it comes to basketball around this league.
And that's why you better be thinking outside the box.
Like,
put your roster together.
Like East Carolina, what they're spending on a basketball roster.
Well, a good amount of the better players in the conference are gone because they got better offers from bigger schools. The one move that is a bit surprising, but you can understand because the coach that brought him in to Cincinnati is now at Charlotte, is Chisel James, who went from Cincinnati to Charlotte to play for Wes Miller, who's the new coach. Probably the best addition in the conference to this point. I may be missing somebody, but I don't remember UTSA and Rice nailing some big-time player.
Yeah, I would. I'm not sure who any of them, but certainly they're not adding great names out of the portal those places. Again, they're probably spending, Rice, like those, like I can't have, like I wouldn't even have a guess as to what the basketball budget is, but I can't imagine it's a whole lot.
No, and here's the thing.
So you have to basically wait till the end. You got to wait till all these people
the
sign.
The bargain basement?
And all of the power conference teams, everybody else fills their rosters, and then it's like the leftovers.
Right.
You get to
the bargain
now,
bin.
You go, okay, now we can. Hey, guys, we're still here. We still got a little bit of money over here. If you guys are really need a place to stay, we got you. We got you taken care of here.
You
got to
hope that you find a diamond in the rough. You're looking at maybe D2 or junior college or NAIA, and you're able to bring in that player because if a power conference school catches wind of that player, and if you're worth your weight, you certainly hope that you have a general manager or whether it's a player personnel guy, whatever you want to label it, that didn't also discover that player, because if they do, you're losing out. You're not getting that player. And so you have to look behind every crack and crevice, leave no stone unturned to put together what will hopefully be a competitive roster. And even if it is a competitive roster, next year, that roster will be depleted. And that's why all rosters, but a lot more in the mid-major to lower, you're going to have to put together almost a brand new roster the next year. That's why I think it's important to keep a couple of players. Memphis was able to keep a few. I thought maybe it would be as many as three or four. If Bradshaw ends up staying, that would be three. That's fine. Remember, it was a horrible team. You don't want to keep too many players, but you want to have some continuity. But it's these young guys that are coming in. And nothing is etched in stone that Fred Smith, Cello Jackson, and Parker Pounds are going to be great college players. But I think there's a chance. And you hope to be able to develop them like you were able to do in the old days. But how about if, let's just use Fred Smith for an example, is called upon this year to be a major part of the team, and he goes off. All of a sudden, those offers are going to be trickling in. And then you're between a rock and a hard place.
So just looking at the American Conference, all-conference team, guys who have eligibility left. First team, Wes Enos from South Florida. He transferred to Creighton, I believe it is.
Right.
he's the only one on that first team that's not listed as a senior. Now, granted, they may have eligibility left. I don't know because everybody seems to. But second team, Chance Westry from UAB, he transferred to somewhere. I'm not sure if he's committed somewhere yet or not, but I know he is in the – he went in the portal. I don't know if he's committed anywhere yet.
Right.
Jashawn Stevenson from North Texas, I'm not sure on. Brumball, we know, transferred. Tyler Riley from Tulsa, I'm not sure on. But I'm going to guess probably both of those guys are in the portal just because
– it's foolish not to.
If you would – and then third team, Vanderpool from Florida Atlantic transferred.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only one that's not a senior on that. So basically, I mean, pretty much every all conference guy of the league will be gone.
Right.
Out of the league.
And it's going to happen every year. It's going to happen every year. Here's another example. Gavoni just reporting that Toledo transfer Leroy Blyden Jr. is committed to Kansas. He was the MAC freshman of the year with Toledo, 16.5 points. Once you have the one great year at a conference like the MAC, those players are gone. There's no way you can keep them more than a year.
Yeah, Tylan Riley is in the portal. Oklahoma apparently is really targeting him.
Again, you would be foolish. Did you see the story yesterday about Nate Ament? He's going into the portal, but he's also going to be in the draft. So, I mean, Nate Ament is going to be a first-round pick. He's going to the NBA. But if he wanted to, he can go into the portal, or he's in the portal now officially, so he can make $4 or $5 million somewhere outside of Tennessee, where I'm sure he was highly compensated, but he decided to go into the portal. Whereas a guy like Kingston Flemings from Houston, who just had that unbelievable year and has eligibility left, is going into the draft. He is not going into the portal. His mind's already set. He's going NBA.
Jashawn Stevenson is staying at North Texas for what I just saw. So there is one all-conference guy from the American Conference who is actually staying at his school conference.
That's a surprise. He still has a day. He still has until tomorrow. You never know. But, yeah, that's a rarity. Once again, Hour 1 brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery at 305 South Front Street. When you head downtown for a great dinner, maybe you're taking a show or a sporting event, make sure to stop by the Distillery Bar. It is fantastic. Enjoy one of their award-winning craft spirits. Happy Hour on Thursdays from 4 to 7 when you get off work. Stop by the Distillery Bar. $7 cocktails made with signature spirits from Old Dominic. $4 local beers as well. Producing Tennessee whiskey bourbon, the Honeybell citrus vodka, the Formula 10 gin, all made right here in Memphis, made at Old Dominic Distillery. Hour 2 on the way. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.